Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. We'll begin reading with the first verse and read through verse 17. And then, as is our custom, we'll return back to our text in the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. But first, let us hear God's word from the New Testament, from Colossians chapter 3. Let us stand together and show our reverence to God as he speaks to us in his holy word. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then back to the book of Proverbs, the 23rd verse. While you're turning, if that sounded similar to the scripture reading on Sunday mornings in Ephesians, it should, because they are parallel passages. Now, Proverbs chapter 23. We'll begin reading with verse 22. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. May God bless to our hearts the reading and understanding of his word. Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we pray that in the consideration of this, your holy word, that you would use its power in our lives to convince us and to convict us of our sin, to lead us in the way of righteousness. We desire, Father, to be pleasing unto you, and we pray that you will give us those holy desires and strengthen them with the power of your Spirit, that we might determine by our wills to do so, and grant that you would bring glory and honor to yourself. We pray for our families, O Lord, that they may be strengthened, that they may be pictures of the relationship of Christ to his church. Lord, we pray for our families, that we might be one in Christ, that we might be a testimony to you, and that you will use us to bring others unto salvation in Christ Jesus. Hear our prayer, O Father. Bless the preaching of your word to our hearts this evening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I believe you all must have taken my request and prayed for my voice, because I have more now than I did when I started. So Lord willing, he will continue that. He is always faithful in those things. We've seen verses like these throughout the book of Proverbs, and we come back to them again because you must understand that when the family disintegrates, society rots from the center out. You cannot have the peripherals of society without having the heart. And the heart of the society, as God has ordained it, is the family. That was the first institution which he ordained. Before there was civil government, even before there was the church, as it were, at least as an organization, there was family. God created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden to cultivate it, to dress it. He told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and exercise dominion over it. The family was at the heart. The family, and a husband and a wife coming together, having children, raising them, and then together as families exercising dominion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that was, of course, marred in the fall, but restored in the covenant of grace as God once again graciously, by his covenant, looking ahead to Christ and having people washed in the blood of Christ, looking ahead in the Old Testament, looking back in the New. They are restored to that. The family is the center. Of course, the family then has the difficulties that we have, that we all struggle with. We have trouble with husbands not assuming our responsibilities in being covenant heads of households. We have troubles with wives who desire to have the place of their husbands and to rule in the families instead of to submit. We have difficulties with parents wanting to find the lifestyle that sets them free so as to be able to ignore the children, and the children likewise turning in rebellion against their parents. When the center rots, then everything else disintegrates. But you must understand also that critical to the well-being of the family, and therefore all other social institutions, is submission to God's order. That's something that we don't often think of. When the Apostle Paul says that things must be done decently and in order, he's not talking about make up any order that you want to make up, but he's saying that you must follow the order which God has established. And that order has been under attack from many directions. God's order is being assaulted, for instance, by the theory of evolution, which is being taught as fact and as science, at least on the lower levels. And you must understand that if man is not a unique creation of God, having his life breathed into him and having a direct relationship with him and being in covenant with him, then indeed man is nothing more than an animal, and we shouldn't expect anything more than anything else. And so therefore all of the social order that we have is simply the creation of chance and time. It just came up. So there's nothing sacred anymore. Certainly not the family. I mean, we just find, and people tell us this, the family came about in a rural and agrarian culture where people needed to hold together. But now, in our culture, we no longer need that, so the family is obsolete. Well, that comes about because it's been assaulted in part by evolution. It's been assaulted by relativism, which, of course, follows evolution. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. It might be fine for you to be faithful to your wife, but I find that to be harmful. Well, relativism. It's under assault from that. And then certainly by egalitarianism as well, that everything is equal, that there ought to be no distinctions, that there ought to be no submission, but everyone on a par with another. That is an assault on God's order. And it is to blunt this assault that in the very nub, as it were, that the Lord of hosts speaks so clearly in his word. And I speak to children, certainly, but I speak to all of us, because if you'll think about it for a moment, you're all children. You came from somewhere. You didn't, as Steve Wilkins says in his tapes, you just didn't spring up in a cabbage patch. You came from somewhere. There's some continuity. You have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. And of course, this is the great teaching of the covenant as well, that God's covenant runs through families from father and mother to child, then to their children and on down. God has ordained the family to preserve and to protect his order. So you can see why if the family is disrupted, why everything else falls apart. Brothers and sisters, one of the reasons that we emphasize the family so in this congregation, one of the reasons why we don't do some of the things that has come to be expected in other churches, is because we want to rebuild families. And when families begin to assume their responsibilities, then we will see strong churches. We will see strong businesses. We will see strong communities, because the center will be back together. And individuals raised in that covenant family will understand their particular roles and distinctives in each of the things that they do, and do it with a heart unto the Lord. That's what we do. It's not grand, it's not glorious, but it is effective. It's God's way for reformation. So I speak to you children particularly, because you're living with your parents, but I speak to parents as well. It is so important to remember God's order. In verses 22 and 23, we read, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." Develop the discipline of listening to your parents. Now, children, if you are anything like I was when I was a child, you want to listen to everybody but your parents. I hope that's not true of you. But there is something when we live with someone and when we have close communication and contact with them, we tend to discount what they say. There's a line in a movie that we have enjoyed from time to time, and I don't know how much we're going to enjoy it in the future, but we plan before Kimberly's wedding to watch Father of the Bride. If I can make it, if we can all make it. One of the lines there is, as the daughter is about ready to go out with her fiancé, her father says, "Honey, it's cold outside. I think you'd better get a sweater." He says, "Daddy, it's not cold outside. I'm fine." He says, "Honey, it's really cold outside. I don't want you to get a cold. Will you get a sweater and go out?" "Dad, it's fine out there." And her fiancé says, "Honey, it is kind of cold. Oh, I better get my sweater." Okay, see, we don't listen to our parents, but we'll listen to somebody else that's come into our lives. Well, I want you to understand that in God's order, the way that we are to be taught is that we listen to our parents. Now, you need to understand something here, fathers. The implication is that fathers are teaching. The implication is that you have the covenant on your heart and in your mind and on your lips, and you're teaching your children according to the Word of God. That's the assumption here. This is written to covenant families. It's written by the King of Israel to his children. And he's telling them, "Now you listen to your father. We're in covenant with God. He's given me authority in the household, and he's given me a message to pass on to you. And you listen, because here's where you learn God's order." Now that means you need to understand, fathers, you need to understand God's order, and you need to be passing that on to your children. Now as we look at this, I want you first of all to understand that you need to recognize those who are your parents. Now certainly and primarily as we look at this passage, because it speaks of fathers who beget us and mothers when they are old, it is speaking about the nuclear family. But as in the fifth commandment, in the Ten Commandments, we must also understand that it has to do with those who have legitimate authority over us. When the fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother," which is the first commandment with a promise over in Ephesians, but in the Ten Commandments it says that it may be well with you and that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives to you. Certainly, in the very midst of that, there is father and mother, but it also has to do with all the others who have legitimate authority. We need to learn to listen to those who are in authority. You may have heard, those of you who were here on yesterday during presbytery meeting, that one of the greetings which is used in presbytery as we stand and speak, we use the term fathers and brethren. It is the recognition that there are those who are superiors in age and in wisdom. And it is an acknowledging of them and an honoring of them that we need to learn to listen. Hard for me to believe. I've always been one of the brethren. Now I'm becoming one of the fathers. I went to my reunion. I didn't know how those people got so old. I just don't understand it. But we recognize those who are our parents. So what does it mean? Well, certainly it means that you're to listen to your biological parents. That just means your mommy and daddy. Those who are your parents in your home. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You need to learn now to listen to them. Children, every one of you, your parents are teaching you the things of the Lord. You must learn from them first. Listen, listen, listen. Listen to your spiritual parents as well. And some of you did not have the privilege of being raised in Christian homes, but you have had others who have ministered to you. And you have those who have taken the gospel and have taught you the things of the Lord. You're to listen to your spiritual parents because they have wisdom. And of course, ultimately, you listen to your heavenly parent, your heavenly Father. Because no matter what men say, if it is not according to the word, it's because there's no light in them. But you must understand, you see, we learn to listen to God and to submit to Him, first of all, in the family. And that's why it's so vital for you parents to be teaching your children and expecting your children to listen. Have them look at you. Have them open their ears. Ask them questions to see whether they understand and see to it that they put into practice what you are teaching them. So recognize those who are your parents. Acknowledge also your obligation to listen to them. It is an obligation that is just not just a general obligation, but a specific one. You are under the obligation of your birth. In God's providence, He has given you the parents which He's given to you. And because He has set things up the way they are, you are dependent upon your parents, children, for everything. When you were born, you could not even survive if your parents did not care for you. Well, likewise, you need to understand your dependence upon them for learning of the ways of the Lord, as well as the warnings against the ways of the world. You have God's obligation upon you, the obligation of your birth, but you are also under the obligation of God's covenant. It is the first commandment with a promise. Children, the first commandment that God teaches you is to honor your father and your mother. And in doing so, you will then learn to have no other gods before you, not to make for yourself any graven images or bow down yourself and worship them, to keep the Lord's name holy, to keep the Lord's day holy, to control your anger and your violent nature, to keep your desires under control. But it all begins, the first commandment that children learn is honor your father and your mother. That's where it begins. And it is the first commandment with a promise. So recognize those who are your parents, acknowledge that you have an obligation, and you listen to their teaching with respect. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now let me say that there are several ways that you do this. Respect them, first of all, by seeking their counsel. Children, you should not just wait for your parents to instruct you. You might be thinking, I don't have to wait long. They're always telling me what to do. But there are times when you ought to seek their counsel. Older children, as you get older, of course, you assume more responsibilities. That is proper. But you ought not to neglect the seeking of the counsel of your parents. You ought to seek your parents' instruction in your youth And as you are older, and as the Lord takes your parents to be with the Lord, then you ought to seek the Lord's face time and again and again and again. Get into the habit of seeking the counsel. But notice here in this passage also, not only seek their instruction in your youth, but seek out their instruction when you are older also. I mean, you've got to figure, don't you, that if you're not to despise your mother when she is old, that means that generally you're going to be older too. Doesn't it stand to reason? And so we are not to despise our parents when they grow old. For we must understand that God, through their years and by his faithfulness to his covenant, gives them wisdom if they are walking with him. And I think it is a great tragedy and something which needs to be remedied, that we as children need to so honor and respect our children, to listen to them. Granted, there comes a time when the Lord should take their mental faculties, where we'll have to care for them, but we still respect them. And we care for them when they're old. Respect them by seeking their counsel. Respect them also by valuing their counsel. Here it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and understanding. In other portions in the Proverbs, we see that purchasing of wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. Whatever it takes, get wisdom, get understanding. Where do you get it? You get it from those who are your parents. Don't automatically reject what you do not want to hear. As children get older, they may seek their parents' counsel, and they'll receive it when it agrees with their particular inclination. But when it doesn't go just the way they think it ought to go, they say, well, what do you know? But you see, that isn't what is being spoken of here. We are to value their counsel. Look at a couple of portions of Scripture. First of all, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Listen to counsel. I'm sorry, that's a good one, but that's not the one I was thinking about. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. This is the other side of the coin. Look over at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17. This is a rather graphic illustration. Chapter 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. And then back in Deuteronomy chapter 21, it speaks about one who gets into the habit of refusing to listen to his parents. This is not talking about a young child. This is talking about an older child. But notice what it says in verse 18 of 21. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. Now, do you understand what that is saying? That's a capital offense in the old covenant. Why was it so important? Why was it such a vital thing? Because if children would not listen to their parents, then they were going to be a blight upon culture itself. Culture cannot hold together, because a person or a child who will not submit to his parents will not submit to anyone. Now, you look at the crime in our streets today. Do you want to know where the crime began, children? The crime began when children would not listen to their parents, and now they will not listen to anybody. That's what happens when you don't value your parents' counsel. And you respect them by following their godly counsel. Here we see in the 23rd chapter that what happens here is the buying of truth and the getting of wisdom and instruction and understanding. means that you are going to embrace biblical convictions. There is going to be a core set of things that you believe and that you hold to that you will not sacrifice for anything. It doesn't matter whether anyone else believes it or not. One of the great delights that I have had in my children is that when they have gone to other places and they have gone to Christian schools, they have been somewhat singular, for instance, in their observance of the Lord's Day. Everyone else would be doing whatever they wanted to do on the Lord's Day, but by the grace of God, my children would say, no, this is the Lord's Day. I will love it, and I will keep it. Now, that's a great delight to me. But you see, what's happened is they've taken the teaching of their father, however inconsistent that might be. They have embraced biblical convictions, and they have stood upon them. And I praise God for that. And that's what's in view here. It is vital for you when you leave your home that you have a core set of beliefs that are so written upon your heart and mind that nothing in this world is going to move you away from them. Fathers and mothers, that's what you ought to be aiming at. And as children, we're to embrace biblical convictions and persevere in that faith once for all delivered to the saints, both in our youth and in our old age, whatever it takes, buy truth and do not sell it. Well, we've spent a good deal of time on this first part. I think we can go through and finish the other because in a sense it's a repetition. But develop the discipline of listening to your parents, but also in that, and I think it goes hand in hand, develop the determination to be pleasing to your parents. It's one thing to simply subject yourself and say, well, it's unavoidable, and grudgingly listen and grudgingly put it into practice, and all the while think, yeah, but when I'm on my own, it's going to be real different. But you'll notice here in verses 24 and 25, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Now that's true. What's the implication of it? Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. I think there are two things that you need to do. Three things. To please your parents. You please your parents, first of all, by considering or contemplating their interest in you. You may not recognize it now, children, but among the greatest delights and the greatest pleasures that your parents have are you, their children. They invest their lives in you. Our parents invested their lives in us. And one of the things that needs to be taught in our families is this principle of deference, deferring to others. And the way, parents, you teach that to your children is you teach your children to defer to you. You teach them to consider your interests above their own. Now, they aren't born that way. They are born with the only idea that they have is my interest. You've seen children, haven't you? They'll have a toy. Someone else will have a toy that they want, and they grow over, and they grab it away. And what's the word they use? Mine! Right? This is a verse that says you don't talk about yours. You consider the interests that others have in you. Children, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it as many times as it takes, and you parents will be saying it too, but that quality of life which is taught to us, which is essential to the Christian life in Philippians chapter 2, that of humility and considering others better than ourselves. Philippians 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own interests, own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on and speaks about him giving himself up for his people. Where does that begin? That begins in the home when children learn to consider others better than themselves by considering their parents' interests first. And I'm going to say this to you children. Your life and your conduct may be a source of great joy for them. Not only your earthly parents, but your heavenly Father. But on the other hand, if you do not learn to listen to them, to value their counsel, to obey them, your life and conduct may be a source of bitter disappointment for them. A bitter disappointment of which I do not think there is a more bitter one to be experienced in all the world. One of my great fears, and it is a fear, and I trust that it is not a sinful fear, but rather a godly fear. But one of my great fears is that one of my children will rebel against the Lord and the teaching of our household. I cannot think of anything more devastating in this life than to have a child who denies the faith and gives up living for the Lord. And you children, I want you to understand the grief that you will bring to your parents if you do not listen to them. It is a grief not that is centered in selfishness, though certainly there is a concern for ourselves and the bitter disappointment, but that disappointment comes from the grief of knowing that a child that we have been given will spend an eternity in hell with no help, with no comfort. And that is a bitter, bitter thing. And I want you to contrast that, if you will, and you children have never had the joy of seeing a child of yours brought into the world. I will never forget the birth of my children. I never will. I was a kid, and I was a kid at the time. I was, I guess, 24 years old. I was the youngest of two. I wasn't certain whether I wanted children. I had an ungodly view of the family. I had an ungodly view of a lot of things. And God, in His mercy, gave us Kimberly out of time, at least out of my time. I wasn't real certain about it when Bunny announced to me. I wasn't certain whether I wanted you just yet. But I want to tell you, I have never, ever, ever experienced such elation and joy and hope as when I first saw my daughter Kimberly. Too much, in fact. I said to Bunny, let's have another one. That was not the proper time to be talking about that. But I want you to contrast that hope and that joy, if you can, children, with the bitterness of being disappointed. I think of Jonathan, and I'll tell Jonathan this right now. I can remember weeping and praying by you, Jonathan, as you were hooked up to all those tubes and we didn't know whether you were going to live or not. And I can remember praying for you that God would preserve your physical life. But I pray even more diligently that God would save you from your sins. What a tragedy it would be if God preserved you from death and you entered into eternal death. Children, you need to consider your parents' interests in you. That when we speak, we are not doing so to crush you, and I'm not, and Jonathan is not the only one that I pray for, you understand, but there's that contrast. But I want you to consider that, children, when you are tempted not to listen. I want you to understand the hopes, the godly hopes that your parents have in you, and learn to defer to them. Learn to be pleasing them. Because that will put you in good stead for the rest of your life, that you will learn to be pleasing to your God. And having done that, contemplating your parents' interest in you, please your parents by pursuing righteousness. And what that means is, if you don't do anything else, you pursue the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by putting your faith in Him. All of your external obedience is of nothing if you do not surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. You pursue the righteousness, the only righteousness that avails with Christ. Anyone here, you please your parents by putting your trust in Christ and in His righteousness and in His shed blood. And then you practice righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. And thirdly, please your parents by growing in wisdom. In other words, you practice the wise application of God's word to life situations. I am amazed at the facility with which my children are able to take the word of God and to apply it to life situations. That's a great joy to me. I wish I'd have been able to see things that clearly when I was their age. Continue in it. You make it your purpose to be pleasing to your parents. And finally, pledge your allegiance to the God of your fathers. Verse 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Well, you have a contrast between that which is right and that which is wrong. But you see, he says, give me your heart. Not just your outward obedience. Give me your heart. Now, to fathers and mothers who are in Christ, I think we can give our hearts to our parents, but ultimately they must go to the God of our fathers. That is where our allegiance must lie. Surrender your whole being to the Lord. And we'll just go through this because this you've heard before and you will hear it again. You surrender your mind to be informed by God's truth. No intellectual pursuit is of any value apart from your reason being subdued by God's Spirit through the Word. Don't let these words come into your vocabulary when your parents are instructing you. I know. No, you don't know. If you knew, we wouldn't be telling you. And even if you do know, is it going to hurt you to hear it again? You see, the words I know is another expression of saying I know when I don't like it. That's not listening. Surrender your mind to be informed by God's truth. Don't turn it off by thinking that just because you have an intellectual understanding of the teaching of God's word, that that's all there is. Because our minds must not only grasp intellectually, but our wills must also be transformed. And so you surrender your wills to be transformed by God's will. Give me your heart, let your eyes delight in my ways. You don't have a will of your own. You learn to surrender it to the Lord. How do you surrender to the Lord? When you're a child in your home, you surrender your will to your parents' will. That's how you do the will of God, children. And you surrender your desires to the great desire of nations. Jesus said in the Old Testament, in the counsel of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. The best things in life, I believe, require the development of a taste for them. I've used the illustration before. My parents always used to complain about my music. They were right. But I would listen to some of the things that I listen to now, and I said, that has to be the most awful stuff I've ever heard in my life. I used to call it long hair music. And under the circumstances in which I went to college, we were required to listen to that kind of thing. And I found out what music was about. I developed a taste for it. And now it's hard to get away from those things because I've developed a taste for those things. Well, my desires change. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I've had to develop a taste for hymns and psalms that glorify God rather than stimulate my fancy. But what a great thing it is. I've had to develop a taste for God-centered worship versus man-centered worship. I had to develop a taste for good food as opposed to junk food. You surrender your desire to the desires of nations, and then you consider the consequences of the contrary. if you don't. If you don't develop the discipline of listening to your parents, and if you do not develop the habit or the determination to be pleasing to your parents, if you do not pledge your allegiance to the God of your fathers, then you look at verses 27 and 28. You will be seduced by the wisdom of this world. You will be enslaved by the bonds of sin. You will be robbed of the true delight of life. And you will be one more statistic in a long list of disappointments. And that list is long. Everything that you think is going to be fulfillment is going to be one more big disappointment. Give us your hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we've heard again the admonition that you give to us to be godly husbands and fathers, godly wives and mothers, obedient children. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear you, that we might also hear our parents. Grant, Father, that we would value their counsel, understanding that we are indeed to go to the word of truth and to find out whether that counsel indeed accords with that. But where it does, Lord, we pray that you'll give us hearing ears and obedient hearts, and so restore that godly order to our families and to our communities, to our church, that Christ may be the head over all things, that his order may prevail even to the ends of the earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 186 as we conclude our worship service this evening. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Let's stand as we sing. 186.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown?
Receive now the benediction of your God. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you from this day and forevermore. Amen.